If TC brings up Kyle Shanahan or Robert Saleh, just hang up. 916-909-13. What's up, TC?
What's up with my two brothers?
TC, what's up, boy?
Hey, man, just vibing, man. So, look, at this point, right, so they pushed in the bushes, right, when I'm talking about the Warriors. We got to listen to Mark Spears when he's talking, because when he's talking how he's talking, something is brewing. That's how he was talking with that DeMar DeRozan. And then what happened? A couple hours later, he was a king. So check it out, bro. That 4 second round, man, cut it out. Listen, Dario and the boy Devin and that first round pick protected, bro, is more than enough for that dude. Remember when I jumped on talking about Keon and all that? I still stand on that, but at the point where we at now, I'm like, bro, we in a win-win situation. It's either y'all gonna take the deal or we gonna sign the dude next year, bro, when he a free agent. Because he gonna come here anyway. That's where I'm at, D-Lo.
Okay.
Hey, Warriors, Lakers, take the deal right now and send him up to 80. Actually, we can drive all the parties straight up the freeway. It's only an hour and a half. I'll be the chauffeur. I drive him to the Warriors, Devin and Sarge, and I'll bring back Kuminga. Call me. I'm going, okay.
Call me. Call me.
Are you getting pushed in the bushes a little bit? Because have you ever seen someone get pushed in some bushes before? It's like, oh, that's rough for that guy.
He said the Warriors getting pushed in the bushes. That is a classic.
I ain't going to lie.
You ever been pushed in the bushes? Like, pick yourself up, please.
Pushed in the bushes sounds for, like, street slang for something. Like,
I get it. But I've seen people get pushed in the bushes.
Pushed in the bushes.
That's a good one right there.
That sounds like something that happens on prison TV shows. Like, I'm not feeling TC with that one at all. But all right.
Oh, man.
All right. Yeah. Bolo L says, I ain't even. Y'all are wild.
No, what
today.
Did he say? Don't bring it up and be scared. What did he say? Don't be scared. What are you scared
that's
for?
That's crazy.
That's a tough one right there. y'all are bugging out here.
Shout out Reggie Bush.
Shout out Reggie.
Yeah, did you know Kim Kardashian's pregnant? I did not know that.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. If,
I don't think I did.
I saw,
did you get chatty house?
No, it might have been an old pick or whatever, but somebody told me she was. But it might have been an old pick, but I saw her pregnant the other day, and I was like.
If she's not currently, that counts.
Well, no, I'm just. I
no,
asked,
you just want to show, like, did not. You know? Yeah, no, did you know?
I asked the question.
Oh, okay. I thought you were letting us know, like, hey, did you guys know this?
No,
I know this. Did you guys know this?
I saw it and I was like,
okay,
wait,
okay,
I would have
okay.
heard this.
Okay, now, we're good.
Do you guys know she's pregnant?
Fair enough. Yeah, I thought you were like, oh, did you guys know this? Because I know this.
No, Kim Kardashian is not pregnant.
Okay, it was a question.
I don't think
I was
trying
to make sure. We might need to run the tone. Yeah, I don't know.
Run the tape back.
Like the logic works, but the tone was this kind of like, do you guys know this?
Ask if she was pregnant.
I said, do you guys know if Kim Kardashian's pregnant?
Run the tape back. That's not what you said.
That's what. That's.
I'm pulling up the YouTube right now on my phone. Hold on.
That's what I meant. I didn't see nothing about her being pregnant, but I saw a video of her pregnant. I said, what? I feel like I would have heard about this. I don't know.
I found an article from 2 weeks ago that says Kourtney Kardashian slams follower who asked if she's pregnant in vacation pic.
Oh, no.
Not nice.
Oh, no. That's all bad all the way around.
I'm trying to. She doesn't look pregnant.
Who, Kourtney?
Yeah.
I ain't seen Kourtney in a long time.
That show's not on anymore, is it?
It was on Peacock for a while, wasn't it? So I don't know if it kept going or not.
I don't know. Peacock is the Love Island network, and it just raised its prices.
They didn't kick any other reality show to the curb. Love Island cooking right now. the Warriors getting pushed in the bushes is hilarious, and TC's. Right.
Nah, well, bro. No.
Yeah, thank
no,
you.
No,
thank
no.
you.
It's
thank
exactly
you.
What I thought. You said, did you guys know that Kim Kardashian's pregnant? But, like, you heard it, and, like, that's a fact. And, like, you're, like, asking if we know, like, you know.
Well, I was asking it as a question. I was asking it as a question.
It's not a question.
I'm telling you, I'm asking it as a question.
Shout out, Reggie. Yeah, did you know Kim Kardashian's pregnant?
Oh, yeah, come on, man. That's the top. Oh, yeah, come on.
Oh, man.
Come on.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. You believed it. You brought it to this show.
You know this show is recorded.
That's not a chatty owls. I'm asking.
Did you know Kim Kardashian? No, we didn't.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't know that, Casey.
I'm asking.
Two straight days.
God. Well, that damn Tim Kawakami. That guy. He can leave me blocked.
Are you the most inaccurate radio show host in history?
I don't think so. There's got to be somebody more inaccurate. There's got to be. There has to be.
Poor Kim Kardashian. Just minding her own business.
The video I saw was like, she was pregnant.
Well,
in the video.
From what I hear, there's LeBron James pregnancy videos.
Now that, cease and desist for sure with that. That's disturbing. That is disturbing.
AI is terrible. It's terrifying in one sense. In another sense, Kevin showed me a trick to where I could put that photo of us in front of the castle, the Disneyland castle, in my iPhone. I didn't know how to do this. You could hit like a button and it takes the people away.
So
if you look at the picture, it's just us. There's people behind us. Like, I couldn't remove them.
Yeah.
But there's 20 people on each side of us. I was able to remove all of them.
That's and you know, I'm team iPhone all day, but that's a old feature of the Androids. I remember Magic Johnson in that one of those commercials. Somebody was in the background of the picture and he taps a button and they're gone. He goes, "Magic."
Yeah, right. Like Magic was using an Android.
I really got to upgrade my iPhone X because I didn't even know that technology existed on these iPhones.
iPhones do a lot right now. I just learned that you can program an emoji. I think Sean Cunningham showed me this, like on accident, that you can type in what type of like emoji you want, and it'll create it. Damn. Like
I didn't know that one.
I Katie's got this thing with raccoons, so I wrote like, "Show me a like sad raccoon." A raccoon crying popped up.
Oh my goodness! As an emoji.
As an emoji. Oh, it's amazing. I don't know if it was just a feature on an Instagram account or if it was the actual Instagram account, but it's like, what is it called? Rewriting History. And they show Jordan's last shot in Chicago, except the whistle blows because they say he pushes off Russell and he misses the shot and he turns around to yell at the ref. It looks like game footage.
That's ridiculous.
That
is crazy.
You've got to see it.
You said it's a
crazy
Twitter account?
No, I saw it on Instagram.
Oh, that's rewriting history.
They showed, Jordan does the push-off and the whistle blows. He gets the shot up. He misses, but he turns to yell at the official, and then the video cuts off.
I got to see this.
It's crazy. It's like, oh, he missed.
I got to remember when... it wasn't as like sophisticated, but Gatorade did the same thing with like Jordan's shots, and he like missed the shot on Elo.
Well, remember when they did it with Paul George's shots, but he made them?
Damn. Why Paul George is mine? He just had a new podcast. He did one with Isaiah Hardenstein. They were talking about the troubles of AAU basketball. He's not minding anybody or bothering anybody. Why would you do that?
Paul George hit one buzzer beater in his life up to then, and it was in that commercial.
What did he say? Game time, or I called game or something.
I don't know, whatever it was. It was
damn
bad.
Damn, PG.
It was bad.
Are you talking about the commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, he said, ball game.
Oh, man. Paul Pierce.
If somebody finds this Michael Jordan thing, please send it to me.
Wait, Victor says they AI'd LeBron choking out JR after the buzzer. I need to see that video. I absolutely need to see that. All right, so there's stuff to talk about. We're gonna break right here and get back on track, Jesse. Yeah, okay. So we'll come back. Mark Spears has said Jonathan Kuminga wants to come to Sacramento. There have been significant financial offers put out there for Jonathan Kuminga and his team. Jonathan Kuminga has turned down a 2-year, second-year player option contract with the Golden State Warriors. All of this stuff has developed throughout the morning. What does it mean? It could mean absolutely nothing. But conversations are obviously being had. Pieces are being put in place. What does this mean for your Sacramento Kings? We're going to talk more about that when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I was trying to find that video I was telling you about where Jordan misses the shot. I'm looking to see if I was smart enough to save it. It doesn't appear that I was.
I thought it might be on YouTube. Somebody might have. I can't find it.
I'll keep trying to find it. I must have watched it 10 times. I don't know how more of these haven't popped up in my algorithm. You know, when you see something and you watch it like over and over and over, you just start getting
those type of videos.
Yeah. No, I'll keep looking for it. But it was AI is wild, man.
It really is.
Okay, so if you're just tuning in, or you're tuning in because you heard, it appears there are some things going on. The Kings are definitely in the news right now as stories continue to center around Jonathan Kuminga. What will the Golden State Warriors do? It seems like their two top suitors are the Phoenix Suns and the Sacramento Kings. They being the Golden State Warriors, don't consider either of them top suitors, as they don't like the potential returns for Jonathan Kuminga in any sign and trade situation. The Kings to this point have offered, we don't know what the Kings have offered. We do know is this really important piece in Sham Sharania's article. Kuminga and his agent, Aaron Turner, they've used July to explore their sign and trade options. The most significant negotiations have been with the Sacramento Kings and the Phoenix Suns. Getting proposals, plural, up to 4 years, approaching $90 million, including a player option for the final season. Important final note in that, Phoenix has made the most lucrative push via sign and trade. So he says, Sham Sharania, it says proposals up to 4 years, approaching $90 million. It's clear based on the last sentence, the 4 years approaching $90 million has come from Phoenix. For him to lump Sacramento in this conversation leads me to believe that Sacramento is at least in the vicinity of what Phoenix has offered, whether it be we put the number at 75. We feel there's probably an offer of $75 million plus there just to be in the conversation. If it wasn't in the vicinity, I assume Sacramento would be kept separate. Phoenix making the most lucrative offer, with Sacramento also making a push, but not as strong as Phoenix's. Mark Spears said on ESPN television today, on NBA Today, that Kuminga prefers Sacramento. He wants to go to Sacramento. Mark Spears went as far to say that Sacramento has told him he would be a starter here. He would get the minutes that he so desperately has been wanting to get in Golden State, and he would have a very defined role for this team moving forward. We worked out for ourselves. Kuminga would be at the four. Obviously, Domas would be at the five. Keegan would be at the three. Zach LaVine would move to the two. You'd have Dennis Schroeder at one. And until further notice, DeMar DeRozan would be coming off the bench along with Malik Monk and Nick Clifford and Keon and however else this is filled out. All of these feel like very newsworthy developments. Mm-hmm. When the reporting on the Jonathan Kuminga situation started, I think spearheaded by our buddy Matt George, I thought, well, this is cute. Like, oh, it's cool. Like, we had been asked for weeks, like, what do you think the Kings' chances are with Kuminga? And I won't speak for you. I know I was like, I don't see a path. Like, it just doesn't make sense. I don't see a way that this can get done. So there isn't one. Mm-hmm. Clearly there is. And then it's kind of, you know, sat around for the last month. Like, all right. Like, they're dabbling in the water. Like, I don't know how serious they are. This write-up from Shams and those words from Mark Spears leads me to believe that the Sacramento Kings aren't dabbling in the Jonathan Kuminga business. They want in on it. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to make a trade with Golden State that hurts them in the long run, potentially makes their, you know, I-80 rival better, and they don't want to make an offer. They don't have to. Mm. And I think that's what we speculated on this earlier before we saw what Phoenix's potential offer could be. We kept saying Phoenix doesn't have anything to offer. Then we saw ESPN break down what Phoenix has. Like, they really don't have anything to offer. And if Golden State were to take Phoenix's offer over Sacramento's, they would be doing it just to be spiteful. Mm-hmm. That would be the only reason that they're doing it. So these all feel like, now whether this goes anywhere, Warriors are threatening to do this, they're threatening to do that, pull out of conversations and signing trade. That's great. Qualifying offers don't have to be signed till October 1st. So you could do whatever you want to with that. This feels like something significant right here. Mm-hmm. What the reports that we got today from all parties that we just mentioned, this feels like a significant development.
Yeah, and the other aspect, King's Beam asking an interesting question here. He said, I think he meant to say, the Warriors, they can't take the Suns' offer without Kuminga signing. If the Suns are offering more money,
yeah,
but Kuminga really believes in what Scott Perry and B.J. Armstrong have going on, there is an option. I don't know if it's maybe the best option, because now it's going to put him in a different situation. Mm-hmm. But he could say, look, Golden State, I know you like Phoenix's offer a little bit more. I'm not signing that deal, mm-hmm, to make that happen. I want to go to Sacramento. Once again, they could turn around and be like, well, you're just going to plan a qualifying offer then, or whatever. Like, because we think this is the best deal that helps our team, and we're trying to make that happen and see you get paid. We're not necessarily in the business of putting you exactly where you want to go. Yeah. But that is an option. I would think, once again, the Warriors kind of need to be looking at this thing, in my opinion, of like, let's move on with our offseason. We're still trying to get guys like Al Horford. We're trying to get Melton. Let's worry about making sure our team is the best that it can be, with this Jonathan Kuminga thing kind of being done at this point. Also, and they don't have an obligation for this, but the guy, he said he wants to go to Sacramento. They're willing to pay him. We'll get some compensation back. Just do that. Just do it. Because this situation is just, it's a loss all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the Warriors, I've lost at every turn in this particular situation. Let's make the best of a bad situation. And yeah, that's kind of what I would be looking at right now if I was the Warriors. But they also could be saying, hey, we'll all go to hell together.
I got another note I want to bring to your attention. Let's see what Vince is talking about here. Hit us on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320. What's up, Vince?
Hey, two things. First thing is, kudos to Scott Perry, because he doesn't have a gun to his head, so he might as well drive the best bargain he can. But one of you guys already said it. Current state of the Kings roster is not terrible. Mm-hmm. So that means if you're basically a 500 club and you make a risky move and blow it, you can go backwards. It's not like a 25-win team that can only go up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, no. Yep. Great point.
So, but you mentioned it, but no one's really talking about that. You know, this isn't Charlotte. This is a team that's not a contender, but they're also not terrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is.
And then about, yeah.
Go ahead, Vince.
No, then I was going to say, I had a comment about Keon Ellis.
Go ahead.
So here's the thing. Keon Ellis is an asset. And if you can trade that asset, a 6'3 athletic guy who, let's face it, we all love, but has some limited skill set for a two guard, including the fact that he's a little small, and you can trade that and upgrade for a starter, Ellis is a bench guy. If you can get a starter who fills a need we've had for years, who's just as athletic but 5 inches bigger. I mean, I think that's a no-brainer if you end up having to throw him in. Now, Perry doesn't have to do it, so he's waiting and waiting. But if Ellis goes, yeah, we'll miss him. But how do you not say, let's take a starter with that athleticism over a bench guy?
I hear you, Vincent. I think I know why. If you're moving on from Devin, you probably want that defender in the backcourt. You don't want to lose that. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, I'm certainly, you know, playing fantasy GM here. Like, I think that's how I would be looking at it.
Absolutely. In my opinion, any trade scenario is involving either or Devin or Keon. Because whoever is gone, that other person is going to step into that role and be that perimeter defender, defense first type of guy. It's perfectly fine that people look at Keon and don't want to move on from him and understand the value that a player like Keon Ellis brings to the table. If push came to shove, I would not make Keon Ellis untradeable in this situation. I wouldn't. Like, if I really was locked in on Kuminga, like, I want this guy to be here in Sacramento. And there's also an aspect, I believe, of how I say Warriors, like, get on with your offseason and start getting your team together to do what you guys need to do next year. Kind of feel that way to a certain degree with the Kings. Like, if maybe you just don't care about the season, but if you do, like, let's figure out how we can finish this up and start moving forward with what we need to do.
Yeah.
Like you said, another point guard signing may be being held up because of all this. Like, there's still things that they need to take care of.
The point guard signing being held up because of all of this.
There are things that they need to take care of. And let's start moving towards getting this done so they can handle the other stuff. But I would not – Keon Ellis wouldn't stop this deal for me. He wouldn't stop this deal.
Yeah.
I want Keon here. I really do, but he wouldn't stop. Let me ask you this. This isn't always the best way to go about it. For their NBA career, who would you put your money on at the better NBA career, the more productive NBA career, numbers-wise, all this other stuff? Jonathan Kuminga or Keon Ellis?
Probably Jonathan Kuminga.
I would too. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Doesn't mean Keon doesn't play a Bruce Bowen type role on a championship team. I'm not saying that, but we're talking about trading a player.
I don't know why that happened.
About to say, what did the trade just happen?
No,
did it just
plugging in my computer? So I don't know.
I got so excited too.
Yeah, I guess.
I said, wait.
Of all the buttons for the cursor to be on, it was the air horns one. Sorry.
At least it wasn't on the OJS joint.
No, it's gotten enough run. I still feel like you need players like Keon Ellis. Though.
Absolutely.
Like, 100%. We can talk about more productive players, better or worse. I still feel like you really need players like Keon Ellis.
Casey, would you move on from Keon if, I guess, put yourself in Scott Perry's shoes? Like, you think of him as a starter on your team next year? This season?
If you think of Keon as a starter on your team?
Yeah, like, we'll get off of Levine and all that. Keon is our starting too. Would you still move off of Keon?
I probably would. I look at what the situation that you have in Kuminga, a young guy, super high potential, has already shown flashes of being a guy that, given the opportunity, can be a 20-plus per game scorer in this league. And I kind of feel like super versatile, super athletic. I kind of feel like that is a little bit more difficult to find than a guy like Keon Ellis. And I don't mean that with any disrespect, but Keon's, you know, scrappy guy that gets in there and plays defense. He plays at a super high level. But I feel like I can find that type of guy easier than I can find a Jonathan Kuminga.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, I got this opportunity at a Kuminga. I'm a jump on that.
I think another big part of this is all hypothetical, obviously. Not what guys like Mark Spears, Anthony Slater, Sham Sharani, that's what they said. That's not hypothetical. Some of these scenarios that we're laying out are hypotheticals. And I think one thing that got Kings fans' attention this morning was Mark Spears going on ESPN television and saying that Jonathan Kuminga prefers to play in Sacramento and that they have had extended conversations. The Sacramento Kings have had extended conversations with Jonathan Kuminga and his agent about what his role will be here mm-hmm. in Sacramento. And I think everyone knows, you know, Drew Down, Uncle Loon, the Warriors fans know, Kyle Mattson, everyone knows part of his frustration in Golden State is his role there. He does not have a clearly defined role. I think one thing that is commonly known and understood, regardless of how the owner feels about him, by the way, no one is talking about ownership interfering in players' moves out there in Golden State, but we seem to know how, regardless of how the ownership feels about him, we sure as hell seem to know how the coach feels about him. And it's, you know, you look at that and it's like, all right, you've got this situation now where there's a scenario where he wants to play in Sacramento. You've had extended conversations about his role. Part of it again, Mark Spears did not stutter when he said this. He was like, they have told him he can start here at the four spot alongside Domas, alongside Keegan at the three. We move Zach LaVine. We're just working this out in our head, and it seems that you move Zach LaVine to the two. You got Dennis at the one. Got it. That, in this current incarnation, moves DeMar DeRozan to the bench. That obviously can change, and I do wonder if there is some sort of domino effect with a Jonathan Kuminga deal and things that happen next with Sacramento. I will not get off the fact that I think Russell Westbrook is going to sign here, but DeMar DeRozan has played 16 years in the NBA. DeMar DeRozan is one of the most respected players in the entire league. DeMar DeRozan was seen yesterday with Russell Westbrook at the Aces game. I don't know. DeMar DeRozan has played 1,187 games in his career. Do you know how many times he's come off the bench in those 1,187 games?
Three times.
I don't expect you to know. The answer is 12.
Hmm. I knew it was some like crazy low number.
All 12 of them were 15 years ago in his rookie season.
Man. Wow. Wow.
So I just want, let's also take a look. DeMar DeRozan at 35 years old, 22 points per game. DeMar DeRozan at 34 years old, 24 points per game. Let's move backwards. 24.5. 24.5, 27.9, 21.6. This man's production is not declining. So I just want everybody to fully wrap their head around what we're talking about when we talk about moving DeMar DeRozan to the bench. Something that he has not done since 2009, not for a single game since 2009, a player whose skill set has not declined one bit. You're going to go to that man and say, hey, you're coming off the bench. And before you, maybe you are. I think sometimes we say things so flippantly without any real purpose to what we're saying. And I just want you to have full context for what we're talking about when we just casually say, oh, you moved DeMar DeRozan to the bench. Mm-hmm. After 15 years of starting, with no decline in play and being one of the most respected players in the league, you're telling him you're now coming off the bench. Jesse.
I think you move him to a different team.
And see, that's,
I think that's the,
that's the domino effect. I wonder is if that's something that happens. Should something get done with Jonathan Kuminga, the Golden State Warriors, and the Sacramento Kings, is there something ahead for DeMar DeRozan if he no longer fits in the starting lineup of the Sacramento Kings team?
I wonder that as well, and I think that's the most likely scenario. I would also bring this to the table. And I know a lot of the times talk about my negotiating skills and how I get cutthroat and all this other stuff.
You're going to threaten to punch him in the face?
No, I'm not going to. Look, I'm not going to push DeRozan in the bushes. I'm not going to do that.
No, thank you.
Dude, you're going to push him somewhere, it sounds.
No, I'm saying, and I only bring that up because I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible. I'm having a conversation with DeMar. If I go to DeMar and I said, look, we got this Jonathan Kuminga situation taken care of. You know, he's coming here. We want him to start. We want you to stay here in Sacramento and be a part of what we're doing, be a part of what we're building and teaching these young guys. We think it's extremely valuable. We want you here. To be fair to you, I want to be real and say, look, we're not going to have you in the starting lineup. We want you to come off the bench. Now, if DeMar DeRozan at that point says, I don't want to come off the bench. I've only come off the bench 12 times in my NBA career. I heard D'Lo talking about that on the show. And that's when I realized, damn, I really have only been off the bench 12 times. I don't want to do that. I would say, understandable, DeMar. I'll allow you and your agent to find a trade partner and find a trade partner that will start you and you want to play there. So, for instance, you probably could start in New Orleans. If starting is what matters the most to you, you can probably start in New Orleans. Maybe you could start in Miami. You want to move cross country and live in Florida, you could start there and we'll work out a deal. You could start in Philadelphia, maybe. If you want to go there and we could work out a deal, cool. But what DeMar is thinking about potentially of, yeah, send me to the Clippers, mm-hmm. so I can start there and try and win a championship. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's available, yeah. DeMar.
Right.
So if it's just about starting, we can find somewhere for you to go start. And you and your agent, I'm sure, can just find somewhere for you to start. But you're probably not going to be in California. I'll be close to L.A. I'm not saying we're going to be playing meaningful basketball, but you probably won't be playing meaningful basketball, but you will be able to start.
I don't know. From tomorrow, that East is looking pretty weak. Maybe me, Bam, and Hero can do some.
Maybe. Maybe. If you want to go and start, we can. Let's get Pat Riley on the phone to have him take a break from searching for all the memorabilia they lost. And
one of the biggest heists in sports history, I think they called it.
He can pause from that and talk to us about a deal.
Well, maybe if he just stopped throwing things on tables during negotiations, stuff wouldn't get stolen.
Miami seems like a scenario where I think it could help the Kings and also DeMar DeRozan's situation if he wanted to go somewhere else. Maybe you can get like a Jaime Hawkins here, and I don't know what the salary looks like otherwise.
Just get your pick back.
Figure it out. But
you can give up a pick for Jonathan Kuminga, which we are adamant you can. Mm-hmm. You can give up a first-round pick for Jonathan Kuminga, especially if it's next year. Get it back from Miami.
Norm brings up a good point, too. They got Norm Powell, though, too. So, I mean, if you're selling it to DeMar, like, it's a better situation.
I don't think you have to sell DeMar.
We're not selling it, but it's a decent situation he's going to. It's like,
I don't know if you're starting if that's the case.
But here's the thing,
DeMar,
too.
DeMar starts in Miami.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But I also, DeMar is a guy, and this is what we're talking about. Like, we haven't deviated from this. I think DeMar, especially since it's, you know, only been a year, things kind of went the way that they went last year. DeMar's also a guy you don't just trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, man, we got a first-round pick from Washington. Let's work together. What do you want to do here? Like, give us, you know, give us the old proverbial list. Who do you want us to call? Who do you want us to talk to? And
let's try to work together.
Let's work together. I don't know who his agent is, whoever it is. Is it Jeff Schwartz?
Goodwin.
Oh, yeah. Aaron Goodwin.
Yeah.
Have Aaron contact whoever. Like we could all work together. You have our permission to seek trades, and we'll try to get something done. We can't die trying to get this deal done.
Right.
But we'll work with whoever you want us to work with, right, to try to get this done.
And remember, DeMar, we want you here. Mm. We're not trading you because we want to just, you know, take you out to pasture or something like that. Like, we want you to be here, but you've expressed the importance of starting somewhere, and that's not something that we're able to provide for you right now.
Would you guys do Terry Rozier and Jaime Jaquez for DeMar? Terry's probably not going to be playing much for you, but he's an expiring deal this year.
I would. Yeah, for sure. I'd once again take a chance on Jaime Jaquez and say maybe it
was. Yeah, I guess there's money that has to match. You can't just trade him for.
You're bringing in Terry, but like I said, Terry seems like he's got some Gilbert Arenas problems.
Mm.
Well, that works for the Kings.
Kings might be able to get that voided.
Kings get the deal done. All of a sudden, the investigation gets a little stronger. Start calling in some people. Hey, look into this acquisition we just made. We really don't want to deal with this. So let's try to get it done.
So I hear what you're saying, man, and I agree. Like you, I think people talk about DeMar in a real flippant way out here, and that's a damn good ball player who's still very, very productive. And regardless of what people think, I think he can still help you win games, whether he's with the Kings or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, if y'all want to talk, 916-909-1320. We'll continue to dissect all of this new information that we got, courtesy of Mark Spears, Shams Charania, and Anthony Slater, regarding the situation involving Jonathan Kuminga, the Golden State Warriors, the Sacramento Kings, and the Phoenix Suns. James Hamm will be with us a little bit over an hour from now. It's D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. So I didn't want to read this during the commercial break for a couple of reasons. I don't know if this is a talking thing or not, but I'm also just convinced I'm an idiot and can't read this correctly. Does Logan Webb have 10 strikeouts right now? It's the fourth inning.
Yeah,
and I have the box score pulled up.
He's seen 12 batters already, then, yeah.
I have the box score pulled up, and I'm like, it says he struck out 10. Like, that can't be right.
I have the game on in front of me. I haven't really been that tapped into it, but.
Yeah, I guess we
do. Math checks out.
We don't have to read about the latest Micah Parsons issue at training camp. We can turn the game on.
Yeah, you can turn the game on and ruin it if you want to, because they.
No, I'll leave it off. It's fine.
No,
it's fine. I won't watch Giants baseball anymore.
This is what I was going to say. Turn it on. Do whatever you want. The season's over. Who cares? Yeah, who gives a damn?
The fact that
these guys stink now.
The fact that they're a 500 team is crazy.
Come on, they're the Bears right now. Like, you watch them play baseball, the mistake. They're the bad news Bears.
What Shaq always be telling them? Play the Washington Generals sound, yeah. Kenny. I mean, they're running on infield fly rules. They're dropping fly balls in center field between the left fielder and the center. It is a comedy of errors.
It feels like we're getting two tweets a game now about Ramos at this point.
Oh, my gosh, man. This is ridiculous. This is disappointing. I can understand not being ready to compete for the NL West championship. I understand that. This was something that Farhan did so much damage. It may take a year or two to be able to compete with the Dodgers and the Padres in that respect. But the way that they're going out, just – I said, a comedy of errors.
He's got 10 strikeouts through four.
That's crazy.
Rockland's finest.
That is crazy.
Somebody please help him out.
Well, they got a run on.
Giants fighting for their lives against the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Pirates, bro.
Paul Skeens didn't even pitch in this series.
Oh, they're about to get swept or potentially get swept by the Pirates at home. That would mean in the last 2 months, you got swept by the Marlins and Pirates at the crib. Come on, man.
Yeah, they've lost 7 straight at home.
Come on, man. Come on. And off the top of my head, they've lost 9 of 10 because they've lost 7 straight. They went 2 of 3 against the Dodgers. Lost 9 of 10 at home.
I'd imagine they traded for Devers, so at least that's a bright spot now.
A lot of L's.
3-7.
The trade for 10, Devers.
12. They've lost 10 of 12 overall.
They just have fallen apart mentally. That's the killer. The mental errors, the lack of communication, the lack of paying attention to detail it's embarrassing. There's no other way to put it.
You think it's a team or it's a manager that's lost his team?
Could be. Could be. I mean,
because if you guys like it's like we joke about the tweets and stuff, but it really is kind of embarrassing just the way they're playing right now and all the mistakes they're making. Yeah. It's not basic baseball. And to me, it's like, I wonder how much of that is not locked in. And imagine you don't have them locked in.
And even if it is a locker room that the manager has lost, have some personal pride. What are you doing, Leo Ramos? That's my boy, too. That's my boy. He can go. But how many base running errors are you going to have in a week? How many? Jung-Hoo Lee, when are you going to take command of center field and make sure what happened in Atlanta last week never happens again? It's just, like we said, a comedy of errors. That's disappointing.
Because there was that call yesterday that you got to pull Ramos out. He just doesn't have, he's just not mentally there or whatever, playing the game or whatever. You got to pull him out. And Bob Melvin, he leaves him in and all that. Like, how does that affect, I guess, like, other guys playing hard and stuff like that? They're seeing these mistakes, but it's like there's no accountability.
Well, by the way, we turned the game on in here, and Webb is starting to get rocked.
I'm just going to go back to my
You did switch. I thought you changed it back.
No, I didn't. Kenny said I could turn it on. Oh, no.
It doesn't matter.
No, it's fine. It doesn't matter at this point. I want to watch Micah Parsons.
Oh, yeah, dude's jogging to the dugout right now.
No, it's fine. Just going to watch NFL Live for the seventh goddamn time.
That's solid contact, too, right there on that double.
Logan Webb was like the immaculate inning for the first three innings, and then we turn it on here, and they just bad.
Well,
we turned it on.
We were on the game for less than 5 minutes.
Pittsburgh Pirates.
It was
1-0 right
San Francisco. Now it's 1-1. Just forget it. I'm never watching Giants baseball again, ever.
Yeah, but man. It's disappointing the way they're losing. That's the frustrating thing. I hear you. They can't hit.
It's bad.
And they just can't pay attention to detail. And that's upsetting.
They just got the lead runner out right now.
They did. Yeah. No, that's really, I forgot it all right.
Shout out to Chase Zilo. Change. Hey, you're really bad luck, bro.
Nice little ground ball to shortstop. Yeah. Nice heads up play by Willie Adames.
Some good fundamental baseball by the San Francisco Giants.
Hey, you know what? It's fine. I'll just go back to watching my Mariners. It's fine. Give me the baseball pass login.
Hey, MLB TV, that's good stuff right there.
It's lit. And the condensed game. And that you can
MLB
hide the scores.
TV, the network, is really good.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah, not MLB TV network. MLB, the network, is really, really good.
That's the best. That's the best sports league station. And it's not even really close. It's not even really close.
NFL Network is just a PR channel for the league.
Well,
it is. It's owned by the, like that, it's state-run media. That's what it is.
While we're here, just 2 seconds. Any thoughts on people talking about this potential deal with ESPN, Disney, buying NFL Network and Red Zone?
It makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. I feel like the NFL Network has always had valuable properties. Good Morning Football is a fantastic show.
It's really
it's
good.
One of the best shows on in the morning. Maybe the best show on in the morning. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's only football. So, like, you know, if you're trying to, you're not going to get Nick Clifford highlights over there. But you don't get those on SportsCenter anyway. So what's it matter? I'm sure there's something wrong with it, but I truthfully don't care. Like, it's going... I have a bigger issue with it being owned by the NFL than I do ESPN because Good Morning Football is not going to cover that collusion story.
Right.
Like they're not going to discuss this thing like in depthly with the players. Hell, Schefter barely did it. I don't even know if Schefter ever did.
I don't even know if he acknowledged it.
Yeah, like he might have reported on the Howell and Trotter and those guys being out of their positions. But I don't know that he ever truly discussed what was happening. Like Schefter is state-run media, but he's not. He chooses to be. Ian Rappaport actually is. Like he's paid by the NFL to cover the league. So I don't really have a problem with it.